Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
I'm privileged today to be speaking to the Honourable Nat Cook, Minister for Human Services. I know that community is at the heart for herself and her hardworking team, and we're thrilled that Community Centres SA and our members have such great partnerships with the department. The lovely Nat Cook, welcome.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful introduction. You are lovely too.
Oh, now we've done that bit. Maybe we might start, if we can please, Minister, about just that department you've got, Human Services, that word human.
Oh, yeah.
I have a lot to do with your team and they are an incredible team. But for people out there, you really carry the whole people part.
It's rightly called Human Services, I think, Kerry. But honestly, it does talk about a whole range of issues, or it speaks to a whole range of issues in the community where people need to be enabled to be able to make good choices and good decisions and have better opportunities. So through the department, there is a whole range of areas that we specialise in providing support to and advice, but also pulling together programs using good evidence. So obviously we have disability within our purview as well, which has changed a lot over the years. And it used to be quite a huge service delivery agency, whereas it has now obviously got a component of that in terms of residential supports. But most of the disability services get handled by the feds. What that leaves us to do is to talk about inclusion and making sure that all people in South Australia who live with disability of any form are able to have equal access and opportunity. Now, of course, that's a very big statement, and it's also very difficult to achieve in terms of all disabilities all of the time. So our team does a really great job of engaging with the community and trying to target and tailor its programs, and maybe through grant funding or policy work, to ensure that we have the maximum opportunity and access. So disability is a big part, but it helps to flow on with inclusion for other marginalised groups. So we are really the department that tries to speak to that access and opportunity throughout the community. And we do that with some of the funding support through concessions and providing those grants to people who earn very low to no income. We obviously try to do what we can for people who are living here in emergency situations as well. We have a reasonably small group of programs for people who are here. For example, you'd remember people coming from Ukraine last year, or sorry, I think it was the year before now, thinking about it. We've moved to 2024.
I know. Can you believe how long that war's been going?
I know. So we do tailor some of those package opportunities to try and make sure people don't fall through the cracks and they can be supported. Obviously, along with that, we do a lot of work with youth justice, volunteers. I skip over these things, but honestly, Kerry, you could talk for hours about each one of the pieces of work that target a range of people for a number of things. And as a side gig, which is massive, we have social housing. So that includes the community housing sector and public housing, and that provides us with significant challenges. But a lot of people say to me, wow, it's the best time to be the minister in social housing, because we have state and federal governments working hand in hand and we actually have a flow of real and new money into the sector. So human services, we deal with a lot of human issues and challenges, and we use a lot of our contacts through the community to work on great programs that support people, and that includes housing.
And Minister, would it be fair to say that when we talk about humans, it's your department who takes the brunt of dealing with the emotional side of humans, whereas for the other departments, they're dealing with infrastructure or other set, but you really at the crux of it is a person.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess if you talk about our government service delivery agencies, obviously there's health and education as well, and child protection, and they are three other big agencies dealing with specific forms of human issues. But human services is really quite a broad ranging social issues targeted agency, and we do deal with many different types of people. And some people are under the purview of human service delivery for a lot of their lives, but other people come in and out and need to be able to be responded to quickly. We work hand in hand, obviously, with federal government agencies such as social services to be able to pull together assistance packages. We obviously help with food security and financial well-being as well. So a lot of those programs, some of them are funded specifically by state, but others are delivered in partnership with the federal government.
And that is the complexity of what yourself and the department does, isn't it? Because there's so much interagency, also state and federal and local government. It's a very complex piece. So you do have a very clever team working with you to deliver on that.
They're extraordinary, Kerry. They are extraordinary.
And I do know, I was listening to you the other day, you're talking about your vision about tailoring back to the individual and not treating them as a group as such, even though they may be within a cohort that you are focusing on.
That's right. And everybody, all people are different. So it's almost impossible to bunch people together, although you have to for the sake of delivering large package funding services. But really, every community has its own individual needs, and all communities in different parts of South Australia need different responses. And within those communities, we then have a range of people needing different responses. So we need to be place-based in terms of making sure that we are supporting organisations such as community centres to provide specific and tailored packaged activities that are going to respond to then within that a range of different types of people of different ages. So it's quite the challenge, and it's quite the expert niche skill set to be able to do that. And the people working in human services who bring that range of nuance together to this hub approach is a very clever, compassionate group of people who are skilled over many years to do this. And we have a number of those people, fortunately, working in human services. Through that expertise, I've been able to have some really amazing conversations over the last few years where we've had information brought to us about maybe service gaps, maybe people not being able to access certain supports in various places across South Australia. And we're starting to massage those conversations into this more targeted response with community centres. And that's why we did kick out the community centre commissioning for a while, because we wanted to make sure we got that right. We were worried that the model that was being proposed when we came into government was one that was absolutely not going to deliver on being able to provide this vision of a place-based supportive response for community. So I'm really pleased we held up. And as a result, community centres broadly are getting about $2.5 million a year extra. Of course, we'd always like more. But, you know, as time goes on, we're working to bring other services into community centres so that we can see that vision become a reality.
And to that end, and congratulations for that vision. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And we're seeing the results now. The special part about a community centre is that it literally wraps itself around an individual, where they may come there for one thing but walk out the door with many other things. Only today in a forum we held with some of our community centre members said somebody came in for something financial, they got legal advice, they got food from the pantry, and they met a couple of people while they were there.
It's quite extraordinary. You know, again, for, you know, a whole nother session, we could run through the history of community centres and the evolution and the change. But today, I could describe to you just in brief the visit I had at one of my local community centres, Hackham West. So today, we thought we'd pop in there as a team, our electorate office team, to see what they were doing and whether there was any other supports we could seek for them. We often do a call out for various donations and activate the community. So we popped in to say g'day. And what was going on there, we had in one room, we had a yarning circle with a group of Aboriginal women who were actually learning crochet. And they're going to crochet a map of Aboriginal lands across South Australia.
That would be amazing.
It's going to be extraordinary. I said, good luck. Don't ask me. I'm all thumbs, and actually thumbs are pretty handy in crochet, but mine aren't. So they're doing that. There's the food pantry, which is always needing more donations, handing food out to people who need it. There were probably 15 to 20 people eating lunch being served there by incredible volunteers. So we sat and had had lunch, and I had lunch with a gentleman called Joe, who only last week turned 90, and he was able to talk to us about his life and his national service in the UK, coming out to Malaya. I think it was in the Malay Peninsula, I think he said he served, and he talked about why he then migrated to Australia, raising his family locally. We sat there and talked with him. I chatted with Jill Golding, who has recently become the Onkaparinga Citizen of the Year, who was serving on the board of the community centre for many, many years, and a local primary school teacher. And I think she might have been principal as well.
How's that for local involvement? Oh,
absolutely incredible. So we chatted with her. We donated some food goods that had been delivered to our office. So the pay it forward thing happened. They're putting together a garden, a native garden, with a lot of different trees, and like a bush garden with herbs and all sorts that are growing. So there's all of these things happening, and meanwhile people are popping in and out to the op shop, which has been put in place there as a part of their sustainability model. So we spent an hour there, an incredibly rich hour in the community centre, and people of all ages are there. So it's a very welcoming place, and that's the type of place I want to see operating in communities across South Australia, a busy, responsive, welcoming, inclusive environment with a whole range of activities that suit different people. It was a beautiful day, a great Valentine's Day.
Very glad to hear that, Minister. And of course, it's that place-based community response that can make such a difference. And they're already there and trusted. And the message that we'd like to get across from the community centres perspective, and certainly as Community Centres SA, is that we need to enrich and resource that existing facility, because they don't want to go to the shiny new office building. They want to go somewhere that feels like a home.
And that is the challenge sometimes when infrastructure becomes aged. We all get a bit tired, but
we all need a tinker or two, don't we?
Oh, we just need a bit of a polish up. Some of these older buildings do feel more welcoming. So I think the challenge for the newer spaces, which are essential at times to redevelop and provide a new space, is to make them feel worn in and welcome, and provide that same type of opportunity for people to engage. You know, there needs to be spaces for gardens. There needs to be a range of opportunities for different people from different backgrounds to participate. And what I saw today was people coming in, just having a conversation, getting supported, referred on to other services. There were people there, you know, for a range of reasons. But for Joe, it was just, I come here every day for lunch, and I only get the small lunch because it's a very big serve, and it's an efficient way of eating for a single 90-year-old fellow, and a great way to socialise. And he walks there and back every day. And, you know, for that
purpose and exercise, how great is that?
Absolutely. But for the young families that are coming, they're popping in and out, they're eating lunch with their kids, eating lunch alongside a group of women who are there learning English as a second language. It's a fantastic, rich place.
So that intergenerational contact. Now, loneliness, we all know, we don't need to talk about the issue, we know it's there. Now, that, of course, falls under health, but it's community centres that can actually practically, there it is in action, helping address loneliness.
Yeah, I think this is another one of those psychosocial issues. It's a challenge of our community. We have forgotten who our neighbours are at times. It's not something we do regularly. We don't knock on the door and share recipes.
Do you like a cup of sugar?
It's not like it used to be, although I have to say I've got some neighbours who are very kind with an egg now and then or whatever. But
if only that turned into an omelette, they'd be perfect.
If they could come and cook the whole thing, that'd be even better. But I do think we have become a little disconnected, and we have to teach our next generation, our children and grandchildren, that neighbourhoods are really important places to be, because that is often the heart of where loneliness can start. This is another approach that we need to make sure we tackle across government. It's not isolated to one agency to deal with. Sure, health, they are left with dealing with the real mental health consequences, and then the physical well-being consequences of loneliness. So for human services and other groups, and look, if we think education, they fund certain programs as well in community centres. We need to work across government to make sure we're creating these spaces and encouraging that connection for people. It's very important. important. And as you know, Kerry, our department, we're taking this really seriously. We've heard calls for various things and we're working with the community to try and make sure we offer the opportunities for people to enable and build community. I think it's one of the challenges in housing for us to build and provide the program support that enables the creation of better community as well within our public housing communities. It's something we're working on as a team. It's a real challenge.
It's a long-term challenge. This is not new. This has not just arrived in your doorstep in time.
No, that's right. And so for us, we're starting to work together now to try and put systems in place that are going to create change in the long term. It'd be nice to flick a switch. But I think COVID maybe was that reminder and that flick of the switch that said, hang on a minute, this is a real thing. We can't ignore this. It's interesting to see post-COVID how things haven't quite returned to the way they were before. And maybe that's a lesson for us as well. And I think one of the stark things that was noticeable through COVID was that isolation is absolutely crushing for people. And whatever we can do to try and prevent that, we need to do. And I think community capacity building, conversations like this, working with community centres, working across health, education and other government agencies to provide those capabilities is what's really important.
It's my pleasure to be speaking to the Honourable Nat Cook, Minister for Human Services, in this podcast episode. And in that housing space, Minister, we all know we can't invent houses overnight. It just doesn't work. But that look to existing infrastructure that could be converted, land that's being unused, and I think reaching out to bring everybody into the picture, of which I know the department has done with forums and bringing everybody in, is the only way we'll find some solutions.
Yeah, that's right. And the approach to housing from us is quite clear. We know there's a multiple minister approach to responsibility. We work together as a team. We have a number of ministers who have a skin in the game, from social housing to affordable housing through to planning and of course as well the rental tenancy rules, that we've actually done quite a lot of work, and I know that the public's very happy with how that is. I've been out and about in the streets talking to many renters and they're very, very happy that we're making some changes there that might give them a firmer, more secure feeling about their tenancy, which I think is really important. The release of all the land that has been happening under Minister Champion's portfolio is very important, because it's providing us with a vision for a pipeline into the future where communities will be developed. And we can start putting in place now the plans to develop the infrastructure needed for those, which we've put some rules in place about how that happens, because many times communities have been built and not adequate infrastructure put in place. So we've put in place some rules around that.
And even thinking, Minister, about loneliness, when you think about a new development, why not think about having a purpose-built community centre bang smack in the middle, because the houses don't need to be so large in effect.
Right.
And also it's getting people, giving them an opportunity to come and meet rather than go off to their separate houses, where you're just exacerbating the problem.
Yeah, correct. And we can do that on small and large scale. And we're looking at that with our public housing developments as well. I also think it's really important for us to think about green space, making sure there's adequate parks, adequate parking for cars.
Room for gardens garden to plate, so you can have subsistence living where kids can go and grow things and then cook it. And
so all of those things, it's a bit of a change of thinking from the 60s and the quarter acre block and how we developed communities previously. And that's probably where our parents developed their community, their neighbourhood in Morphett Vale and other suburbs like that, Salisbury, much bigger blocks, different types of arrangements. We know we don't have the luxury of large scale blocks, so we've got to be clever about how we plan. And I think, well, I know that we're doing that, and I want the community to be confident that we are considering all of those things as a priority.
And Minister, if you're thinking about future needs, one of the biggest issues is parking, transport. If those all of those land developments can think about where's going to be access. Could a bus service run to here so that people aren't all having to have cars running in and out of town? Is there bike lanes or room for bikes? That's all going to help as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think we've made some significant improvements with more that is needed in terms of the rail system. And many of the land releases are happening around those rail corridors.
Great.
There's one that's been in the news lately in my area in Hackham, which you can see the railway line from the Hackham new development. But, you know, there'll need to be a link between that and the railway station so people can commute. But it's right at the end of the expressway as well. So there's these sort of land releases are really important.
Thinking broadly about, yep. It's holistic, isn't it? 360-degree living approach.
Correct. So yesterday I attended a human services roundtable, which you were at, and that was talking about governance and the principles of community development and how we put in place some really great guidelines around ensuring we're going to get the best outcomes for our programs moving forward. And those sorts of planning sessions, along with the strategic planning around community building itself, the bricks and mortar, it's really important to link those things together. So that's, I think, the role of government is to pull all of those conversations together and make sure we tick all the boxes.
Absolutely. And your department is really taking hold on leading that.
Yeah, they really are. And they take it really seriously. The executive team works very closely with the grassroots team who are working on these policies direct with non-government organisations, councils and other people in the community. I think the other thing that we've taken really seriously from our point of view in human services is to make sure that we've got lived experience people at the heart of providing us with information. We've done that through housing with the Older Women's Task Force. They've informed us of a range of ideas that we can now put into place. So we're working through those. But also from the point of view of disability, young people, the LGBTIQA community, we've got three ministerial advisory councils in my department now meeting quarterly. And I think out of the last year and a half, I've missed a couple of meetings because I've been interstate and unavailable. But mostly I get to part of those meetings and then read the minutes that they do. And we are running policy ideas, legislative frameworks all past these groups to give us direct feedback, lived experience at the heart of what we're doing as a government.
And as a government, as a department minister, where do you see the place that community centres, because they're the ones who'll be listening to this, can play in this?
Oh, absolutely, as that place-based hub of welcome with the no wrong door, able to access people who will listen. And if the point of contact isn't there immediately to seek assistance in the area that's needed or advice, a group of people within that centre that know how to find the right advice for the person at that time so they don't have to wait. And the community centres will be different from one community to the other. And I enjoy hearing feedback about ideas about the community centres in different locations needing different things and how they want to present themselves to the community. It's at the heart of what we're doing.
So as a wrap-up, Minister, what is your vision for community in regards to community centres? What would be your ideal?
That all communities have access to a community centre. We've increased the numbers of community centres that we're funding, and I think that was important. I think there needs to be community centres specifically in areas of need for people, and need is a different thing for different people, but there are many communities who desperately need that place of welcome and connection. Community centres can be the disruptors in loneliness. Community centres can be the point of access for support, and that's what I want to see in our communities.
Well, I really appreciate you joining me on the program today on our podcast. Minister, there'll be a lot we'll be hanging out to hear about this, and the work that you're doing is outstanding. I really thank you and your team for that.
Thanks very much. Thanks for your time, Kerry.
Thanks for listening. These podcasts bring you stories from across the state of South Australia, all of the great work being done in our communities and general topics of community interest. Feel free to share these podcasts with your networks and send us any feedback to info@communitycentressa.asn.au.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.